Welcome to the Walt Weekly Podcast with your host, Walter Latham Sr. and co-host, Michelle Sweeney McCombs. Today's show will be led by the Walt Weekly ladies. It's ladies' night, ladies' day, whatever time frame you are listening, it's the ladies' show. Today's show titled Relationships and Parenting, Part 1. Sit back and enjoy.
Hi, Kina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. So this is Michelle, co-host of the Walt Weekly Podcast. And this is Kina. She is part of our team. And this is ladies' night.
I know, right? Just us.
Ladies' night. Just us. Just us. Walt might chime in a little bit. You know, we'll see. But we're just going to talk about us and our journey as parents, right? So
yep.
I'm a mother of a son, 28 years old.
I have three. I have three biologically. I have one turning 29. Mm-hmm. I have a 23, and I have a 14-year-old. And then I also have a 27-year-old daughter from a previous stepdaughter from a previous relationship that I claim.
Yeah, I have six stepchildren though, but I didn't raise them, so. You know, yeah. I have one child. You know, when it's in the household, it's one child. But I do have six wonderful stepkids that, so a total of seven, but I birthed one. So, you know, it's amazing. You know, always felt like I wanted more children, but I was selfish. Very selfish. Nope. And I did have my child late in life as well.
See, but I don't think that's selfish. You know, I know quite a few people who have one child, and the comment is usually, I have had one child for a reason. You know, there's a lot that
yes.
comes with multiple children. Yeah. There's also a different dynamic that comes with having one child. I'm used to having multiple kids. And until mm-hmm. my middle child just moved back in, when the last one, it was both of us. I'm looking at her going, wow, this, what do people do with one kid? Because when you have multiple kids, they, you know, you have built in, I don't want to say childcare per se, but you have built in friendships, right? The kids, right. you know, they play with each other. So, you know, there's different,
more. Yeah,
there's
busy.
There's different mm-hmm. dynamics. And I don't ever think that if someone decides just to have one kid, that it's, mm-hmm. that it's for selfish reasons. People know what they, you know, I think today,
what you can handle, I think pretty much what you can handle. I think it was the right time for me. I had a lot that I wanted to do career wise and I just wasn't ready basically. And even when I did have my son, I was a part-time parent because I decided to go to school later in life, finished up some things that I really wanted to do in life that I didn't get to do because I went straight into corporate America. So, I just needed to do things that to get it out of my system.
But that's also a beautiful thing today
mm-hmm.
that we can do
mm-hmm,
that as women. Because women could not do that before. You know, we have a lot of opportunities in our generation as Gen Z that the generations before us really struggled and fought so that we can have the opportunities here today.
Right, right. I totally agree. So I did, when I had my son, I was a part-time parent. I was working two jobs and I was in school at night. And we have him on the weekend. And when he became of age, I put him in school. You know, it was a lot of guilt with me not spending certain things with him. I didn't see his first walk, certain things, but I knew what I was doing was, you know, good for me and would be good for him later on.
Absolutely.
With his structure and his lifestyle that he started early as well, like I did. You know, I got him. I always said, you know, I came from a big family. I didn't want a lot of children because I didn't want my kids to suffer like I did, right? So to speak, you know, my parents, the house of 10.
Oh, wow.
You know. Including the parents. So, you know, we didn't have a lot, you know, whatever I had, it was a hand-me-down. So, and things that I wanted to do as a kid, I could not do because I couldn't afford it. And I didn't want that for my child either. So, for selfish reasons, I just really wanted to make sure I was able to take care of him and give him the things that, not things that I didn't have, but to give him, prepare him for the lifestyle he wanted. Right. So my parents, when I wanted to go to, you know, music lessons, I wanted a violin because I love the violin. I wanted to sing. I couldn't do these things because my parents couldn't afford it. So I was able to do that for my son.
Mm-hmm.
He started, you know, music lessons at the age of 3. So now it's a career. So I just wanted him to be prepared, you know, give him the structure that he needed. And, you know, my current husband now, who helped me raise my son, which was, you know, a blessing, you know, because growing up and having boyfriends and this, that, and the other, you know, you have to go through a lot just to get that king, so to speak. And I was fortunate enough to have someone help me raise my son. He came into my son's life at the age of 3. And, you know, it was a blessing. You know, I'm happy with my life and my son and what he chose to do. So I'm not going to say it was always easy, but it, you know, it was challenging at times, but we got through it. So just giving children structure. Rules, regulations, you know, I pretty much, my parents were great parents, you know, so the parenting part was easy. I just, you know, raised my son like my parents raised me.
Yeah. You know? But, you know, I think that, you know, for some reason it keeps hitting me when you say you wanted to be selfish, because I guess I just look at it like, again, we live in a day and a time, especially today, where women have the opportunity to chart their own path. You know, you have the opportunity to chart their own path. Back in the day, one of the things I've learned about back in the day where a lot of grandparents raised their the kids was because there was not birth control in place, right? So I heard some aunts of mine told me that, you know, things would happen, right? The boys and the girls would find each other, right? And things would happen. And, you know, abortions were still, you know, very risky, you know, let's just say 50s and the 60s. And birth control didn't come about until the 70s. With the introduction of birth control, that means that women had more control over their life, right? You don't have to have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 kids. But by the sheer nature of activity and science, right? So now, you know, what tends to happen when you come from large families is that, like, on my father's side, he was one of 15, right? Not one of my aunts or uncles have a lot of kids. Wow. Everyone has one, two, or three kids. You know,
what I mean? When you come from a big family, they don't want a lot of children. Yeah. Yes.
And then it's funny because then when you're an only child, you tend to kind of want a big family. But then you have that midway where some people have like three or four and they're like, hey, I want a lot of siblings for my kids because that's what I grew up with. But I think it really depends. But back to your statement about being selfish, I think it's more so there's a guilt associated still. There's a stigma that kind of still looms over women to say, if you don't want, you know, you are here on this earth to be a mother and a wife. And if you don't want kids, there's something wrong with you. If you only want one child, if you don't want kids, there's something wrong with you or you're selfish. If you stop at one child, you're selfish. No, you had a plan. Right. You wanted something different for yourself.
Right.
And it's okay.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. It was okay. And I think, like you said, with your family coming from the 15-year-old, have one or two, it was the same thing. It's the same thing with my siblings. Some of them don't even have children. You know, it's, what is it? Myself, two, three, four of us that have children out of 8.
Yeah. And then on my mom's side, she was one of 8. I do have an aunt that has 6, but other than that, my mom has 3 and everyone else has either none or I think 1, you know. But then, so, you know, one of the opportunities I mentioned that we have today is, you know, the work, right? There's birth control. There's, you know, of course, there's abortions that are in place, right? No one really promotes that, but that's an option if something happens and it's not in the cards. You know, there's Plan B and other things. But I think that in this day and time, one of the things that generally come to mind about the independent women that we have the opportunity to be today, you know, when we grew up as Gen Zers, right, later on, it was, you know, I'm the independent woman, you wave your flag, you know, there was all the songs associated with that. But I think that is something that our generation can own, as opposed to the millennials or the Gen Zers. And I personally feel like that's something that needs to die. I think that we can own that because the generations before us, the women were expected to be codependent in a traditional relationship, which is great where that works. But I just don't think that offered contingency, when something went wrong. If the relationship broke up, unfortunately, if the husband got sick, right, she was not able. There were not a lot of jobs where women can hold down the family if something happened to the husband. You generally had to, you know, either struggle or find a new man to kind of save you so that you can, you know, have a decent life or a life. Today, there are jobs. Today, we can go to school. The women before us have fought for equal wages and are still fighting for equal wages, where we are able to run full households, right? If you have the education, commitment, and discipline, you're able to run a household on a single income per se, right? We know that there are still challenges with that, but let's just say if you go the route where you are definitely going to acquire a marketable skill set. So I think that the idea of women being independent today, it should be natural. The idea that we should be fully functional individuals, both men and women, just in general, because relationships are great. People hope to get into a relationship, but it's not guaranteed. And what I mean by that, you have a lot of people in short-term relationships that never blossom to that relationship where you're sharing finances. So women, both women and men, in my opinion, need to make sure they know how to be fully functional, independent individuals, right?
And here's something I want to tap on that. I'm glad you brought that up. So I know a lot of friends of mine that are in situations where they're in these long-term relationships. They're actually even married. And just listening to them, I said, wow, I'm glad I was trained differently. You know, these women are basically taking care of these men. There's no financial help from the men. So these women are, you know, they're paying the bills. The bills are in their name. The mortgage is in their name. Credit cards, everything is in their names. You know, and I guess what I'm going in a different direction as well, but it is a part of women, some women thinking that they need a man in the home to feel security. But they're on the flip side of that, they're taking care of this man. This man is not, you know, showing a good male role model to children, because you're home, your house husband, or you're sitting there, you know, with the kids, or you're either not helping with the kids, you know, the wife is still doing everything. She's dropping the kids to school. You know, they get home or he'll pick them up, but she has to come home. She has to make dinner. She has to, you know, clean up and do everything else. Like, the man is just there. And I just can't see that, you know, in a relationship. Like, I don't understand how women do that. And it's not, the numbers are going up.
I think it's because
situations like that.
I think there's a couple of different things. You know, people are lonely, right? A lot of people are lonely, and they want another warm body, right, in the house. But also, I think that some people feel like it's one of those generational curses that probably need to be broken. Because from my understanding, what happened in the community, right? I hear from older women that back in the day, of course, you know, if you weren't married by 30, there was something wrong with you. But there was also the notion that you needed to be in a relationship, and you needed to understand that your man, assuming he was a Black man, right, he was against the fight of the system. You know, the world was against him. You needed to understand the plight of the Black man, despite there never really being a definition of the plight of the Black woman. And it doesn't seem like anyone has, and still today, does not care about the plight of a Black woman. As, you know, it's been stated many times, we are the most unprotected beings on this planet, pretty much. But what was also communicated through the aunties and the grandparents, you know, just in silent code, was that you needed to be the backbone of your man, because he was up against the world. And even, you know, he was doing his best, but the man, you know, had his foot on his neck. So it's kind of been passed down by the generations that we needed to be the backbone of our men, whether they were performing or underperforming. But I think what has happened today is that as, you know, women, Black women and women of other races have become more educated and have started to make more money, unfortunately, and this is kind of known, the men, our counterparts, did not continue at the same pace. So now you have a lot more women who are more educated. They're making more money. And there's a disruption in the relationships between men and women now, because men of our generation have been told, you are the leader, you are the provider, you get the big chicken, you get the big seat at the head of the table. Now that women have become providers, they're kind of going, hello, I think I need the chicken and I would like a seat at the head of the table, or we need to figure out how to be a partner. And right, right now, because again, it's a generational situation, there's generational challenges that I think both men and women are having today. Because still at the same time, I know I was raised, right, where a man is going to be a protector and a provider. However, life went very different. And I said, I'm going to get my education, right? And I was a single parent going to school, winter, spring, summer, fall. I always took four classes a semester. I worked in the city, lived on Long Island. There were many times my kids sat in class with me. And I was just, I refused. My personal motto is I will never join the struggle movement. And I keep that as, you know, as a personal statement, a personal driving force, because there are a lot of different opportunities here in New York. You have an opportunity, and I know it sounds strange, to be in poverty. You have an opportunity to be in working class, somewhere in the middle class, and various flavors of wealthy. Right, now, as long as...
Can I interject?
Absolutely.
Listen to your guy. This is Walter Latham.
Yeah, I saw you, Richard. I saw you.
Right? I would like to say, coming from the baby boomer generation, that I don't agree with a lot of what's being said, but this is relationships, and I'm speaking from a male perspective, not from the female, the mother. And when you mentioned that men were raised to be the breadwinner, right? I was raised to be the head of the household, the breadwinner, to be the protector, the provider, to oversee my household.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And I still am that way.
Like my dad.
All right? So you can understand that with my, especially my daughter, I taught her when she was 13 years old. I said, never, ever depend on a man. Never. Okay.
My dad did the same thing to me.
My dad did the same thing as well.
You don't do it. Okay. All right. So,
but that's from a father's perspective.
Right. Right. So, but I've noticed that there is a breakdown of the family unit within the Black community. That's why we're so damn far behind. All right, so we got to think of a way to mend that, to bring that gap, to bridge that gap between Black women and Black men. Okay? Black, if you look at the college stats, Black women almost double the amount of enrollments in undergrad than Black men. Black men are feared in this country. If you look at TV right now, you see Black women in starring roles and this and that. All right, so what's going on? I mean, y'all guys say, all right, I'm a
flashback
woman.
Flashback to a show we had, Walter.
Yeah, we did a show on this. And I think it was Cindy Lawrence. I think I forgot exactly.
Yeah, but, something like that.
You know, I from experience, and all y'all guys, everybody, you know, y'all guys got experience just like me, but I just come from an older generation than you guys. Okay, and I think that we need to go back a little bit. I'm not saying throw out, you know, the baby with the bath water, but we have to go back because we are, and y'all guys will suffer from this. We are falling behind, and the reason, the Black family unit.
What do you suggest we go back to when you say we need to go back?
In the days when you were raised.
Well, the reason
mother,
why I was
father. And the traditional style. I'm a conservative when it comes to that.
See, I am not, and this is great because we have difference of opinions. I am not a huge proponent of the traditional style because I don't think it offered opportunities for women, and I don't think it offered opportunities for contingency for families. And what I mean by that is, you know, the woman, she was at the house, right? I love to use the statement, chain to the stove and the kids, and the man went out to work. Now, let's just say if that man got sick, right, he had the weight of the world on his shoulders because he needed to go make the money to feed the family. Now, being a domestic engineer is definitely a hard job, but it does not feed the family, right? You need money to feed the family. So in speaking to just, again, it's men of my generation, right? Just really having that conversation about the stress that's associated with being, you know, the breadwinner. Also, like my ex was NYPD, and you have a lot of people who are police officers where their wife may not work for whatever reasons. I always assumed it was the random, the details and stuff that they get. But there's a lot of complaints about, on the, from the men's perspective, that they don't have help from the women, right? But then, so in my mindset, when I think of two fully functional individuals, that means that if something fails on the male's part where he's unable to provide, if the woman has a marketable skill set, right, then she can provide. That allows for contingency within the family and it reduces mental stress on the man. The same way I'm huge on both parents being able to cook, both parents being able to take care of the kids, both parents being able to split roles. I like that, that the newer model that's existing today, because that also allows for sharing of responsibilities. I always say that if, Walter, I always say that if I had the opportunity back in the day to be the stay-at-home mother or the father who went out 9 to 5, cut the grass occasionally, seasonally, and got the car fixed whenever it was broke, if someone said, hey, would you like to be the mother or the father? Given the responsibilities and knowing that a mother is a 24/7 role, I'd be like, I'll take the job. I'll take the job. But
okay.
That's just me.
All right. But I think that, you know, I'm not particularly referring to you, but based on what you're saying, that's why Black men are having such a hard time. Don't forget that, you know, the system that we live within, all right, they are trying to deal with the growth that we will not be denied. Okay. Some Black men give up. They can't handle it. But the majority of us, we are pushing forward.
That's so a personal choice though, for those who choose.
That's a personal choice. I also want to elaborate on some men, you know, particularly these women that I know, their mothers didn't raise them properly. They didn't train them. Their parents didn't train them. They came from two family parent home. And with the women that they're living with, they're taking advantage. They're lazy. They don't want to work. The women are paying the bills. You know, this is a small percentage, but you have men out there that would rather sit on their behinds, let their woman do, take care of everything. And the woman say, oh, I need him around in case I need something fixed.
But you know what happened, Michelle, also? Those are the men that where women, when women started raising their flag and saying, hey, I'm independent, they were like, oh, you're independent. Yes. Great. Now you can pay half. Now you can pay more. Oh, you're making more. You're so big and bad.
Right.
And then now they're going, oh, you said you don't need a man. But also I think that like, so there was a point when I was single, right? And I remember my mom and my dad used to tell my son at that time, you're the man of the house. And I'd be like, no, he's not the man of the house. And they're like, no, he's the man of the house. And I said, no, his responsibility is his chores, to keep after his little sister when I need him to, take out the garbage and what have you. If I'm telling him that he's the man of the house and he thinks that that's the those are the responsibilities of the man in the house, I'm setting him up for failure. He is not the man of the house. He is my son. And they were like, well, no, it's kind of cute. You know, people say that
well,
back
that's
and
your
then.
Son. That's your
and
son.
And I was, exactly. I said,
right,
he's
different.
I said, he's all not, right. Well, the reason why I say is because I was concerned about what his view, even though he has a father, right? And then after that, he had a stepfather. I wanted to make sure that his view of the responsibilities of a man, right, the bandwidth of that is not limited to just taking out garbage. And, you know, because he wasn't protecting the house. He wasn't doing things that a man would have to do. And now it's funny because he doesn't have any kids of his own. Like I said, he's turning 29 in 2 weeks, but he's in a relationship with a young lady who has two young kids. And, you know, he had a stepfather who he said, you know, when I asked him about the two young kids, I said, you understand what's needed? Because I think I called him one time. He was at one of the kids' plays. And he's like, oh, I definitely know what's needed because I know what I needed. I know what I got. And he said, I'm definitely going to draw upon the experience that I have had from being having a stepfather and put it into these kids.
Okay.
Amazing.
I understand.
That's fantastic.
But mm-hmm. I do want to, you know, revisit what you said. All right, earlier, and what the conclusions that I'm drawing based on, you know, what you're talking about. And that is why we have such a bad time, you know, within our community. Because the black man is being pushed to the side, and you need the man to raise the boys and the girls. You need a man.
Is he being pushed to the side, or is he walking to the side?
Well, I mean, he's being pushed to the side, or he doesn't have the degrees and you know, the credentials that the woman has. So, ergo, the woman doesn't want the man, the black
man. Who's responsible? She's looking for degrees.
Who's responsible? We all responsible. We all have to take the responsibility for that. There's accountability for the black woman and the black man. All right, it got to be both. I know what I faced and what I had to take.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I speak from experience. All right. A 35-year career. All right. But my wife and I, we worked together. But I came in with the notion of I didn't need her money, even though she worked. I didn't need her money. You know, she took care of the kids. She worked. She did what she had to do. Yeah. But when it comes to the core responsibilities of the household, I had mine and she had hers. I mean, look, I didn't have to use my, when I was younger, yes, we had two checks, yeah, but I got to the point where I said, I don't want her money. So let me go to school. Let me get my graduate degree. Let me get my master's degree. Let me get my PMP credentials. Let me keep pushing.
That's a conversation that men need to have with men. Exactly what you're saying. It's a conversation between men, because when women have that conversation to say, hey, guys, hey, fellow black men, we love you. We need you to level up. We need you. We don't want to pass you, but we are going to keep going. We're not going to stop. We need you to come along with us as well and be partners. But what'll happen today too is you will have men who, if you're doing more than them, they still want you to be, they want to be the leader and submissive. And you're going, wait a minute. So I'm doing better than you. And you want me a second chair in a relationship with you? Are you kidding me?
I saw that on Martin, the episode
there's
of Martin.
There's a lot.
Where his wife is making more than him.
Yep.
And Martin couldn't handle it.
He did not like it.
Yeah, I don't like it.
But here's why. Because in my opinion, again, it's my opinion, the patriarchy failed men as well. Because think about it, Walter. Leadership is a quality. Right. Not everyone is born with the quality to be a leader. Men have it and women have it. But men were told you have to be a leader. Right. Whether they know how or not, or they're faking it. It was a position that was given to them by society and not earned. Generally, people earn the position of a leader. Right. Through behaviors and actions and the ability to have people to influence. But in society, society said you earn the check. You bring home the bacon. You are the leader. Now, we know that women have been running the households and everything else for generations, but they weren't respected as such. Now, women are running households and bringing home the bacon. So it's a generational, it's just a disruption that's happening. Because even though we're earning the bacon, right? Even though we're earning the bacon, I'm not going to lie. I still would like a man who's going to make more money than me. I know that's a little convoluted, but it's part of the clash between what you were raised thinking and your current situation. So with men nowadays, it's, you know, they were raised thinking they were the breadwinner. Some of them forgot to keep pace with education and opportunity and remain the breadwinner. Now they're looking at women who have surpassed them and they're going, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait, you guys have too much mouth now that you're making more money. Now men had a lot of mouth when they were making more money, you know, shut up, sit down. I make the money. You do what I tell you to do. But now women have taken on that position. And I'm not saying it's right, because no one needs to be abused just because they make more money than them. But the dynamics are flipping. And what we really need to do is people need to figure out how to be partners, right? Because if a woman's making good money, she's not going to be the subservient little mouse in the corner anymore. She has a voice. Kind of just like, if I remember history correctly, I forget which war where the men were drafted. And then the women, a lot of the women had to come out of the homes and they started to work the jobs that the men had.
Yeah, that's World War II and then Vietnam too.
Okay, so then if I remember correctly, when the men came home, the women were supposed to go back to the stove. There were a lot of women who didn't mind getting back to the stove. And there were a lot of women who were like, I like making money. I like doing something other than. So it's like we will always have women who enjoy making the money, who enjoy the freedom and the feeling of personal success that comes with the drive in making your own money. You will never be able to chain that woman back to the stove again, but she still does know how to cook.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. I was going to say I do both. I do both. Like, I enjoy making money and also enjoy being home, taking care of the family, cooking. I still enjoy doing that. You know, it's just finding that balance.
Yeah. And that's why I said she still knows how to cook. But today, our generation is just in a disruption, right? Women are finding their footing, and men, because women are finding their footing, they're feeling like they're losing authority that was given to them by society. And in my opinion, again, I think that we just need to figure out how to be partners. Men feel like being a partner with a woman is a downgrade, right? They feel like they're being emasculated when men are like, oh, you know, an independent right. woman emasculates a man. Like, okay, I've dated before, right? And if you, you know, you chit chat with people. Now, I've renovated homes. I've had plumbing work, carpentry work, and electrical work certified by the town, you know? And when you tell a man, and I can fix my car. When you tell a man this, they go, well, then what am I going to do for you? And first, your worth is not just based off of what handiwork you can do.
Yeah, okay. I got a question. Yeah. Why do you tie men to being a repairman? I can't fix a damn
because
thing.
That's
I called
what
a man.
Exactly, because that's what society did. Walter, right. that's like tying a woman to raising kids and cooking. Because
right.
It's funny.
Things men are supposed to do.
Right?
It's funny that you said
anything.
That.
I'll pay to get it done.
Now,
that's
it's funny
me.
That you said it's
I
funny
didn't have
you
a father, but maybe because I didn't have a father. My grandmother raised me. But my
well,
grandmother always taught me, work with your mind. You don't necessarily have to work with your hands. Work with your brain.
I've always right? been mechanically inclined,
and that's the
so
way
I like
I am.
Working
And my
hands.
Daughter, forget it. She does a home basement. Home. She got tools forever.
Same here.
My daughter fixes everything. Car yeah. or plumbing, electrical. She does it all. And she didn't learn it from me. She just liked to do it.
I
my
remember
son,
one
he's
year.
The same way. But that's not that cannot be like, you know, you're a man, you're supposed to be repairing something. No, that's not it. I think the question is, can you support a family? Do you get into a marriage and can you do your part?
Okay? I agree with you.
And I think that's what's going on now. That's why we have such a high divorce rate, higher than any other race.
But
right.
Walter, you know we're not going backwards.
We
right?
are being we. No, you see, y'all guys looking. I mean, it's hard for me to say, and I may offend some people when I say this, but I attribute, you know, the indoctrination of the women's lib movement into the Black civil rights movement as the problem that is the underlying reason for us being the way we are, the worst, and at the bottom. In this country and in this world, the African American, the Black American. All right. And then we shouldn't be really discussing, you know, this topic is so, it's explosive. Really, it's explosive.
It is. You got to be careful what you say.
Exactly.
Too, because you're old school, you know.
I'm old school.
We're independent. I know the women's movement was a lot like some things I agree with, some things I don't agree
right.
with it.
Stay tuned for part two of the Walt Weekly's Ladies Night series, Roles, Expectations, and Parenting Today.